sahana bhavatu sahanao bhunaktu saha viryam karavavahai tejasvi navadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. God. Okay. Page 80. Ching, 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 Chitraketu, yes. King Chitraketu continued. You exist in the middle, beginning and end of everything. From the most minute particle of the cosmic manifestation, the atom, to the gigantic universes and total material energy. I see. He did. Okay. King Chitraketu, maybe that's why it was. That's King Chitraketu, and this is Ching Chitraketu. Okay. My dear Lord, this cosmic manifestation and its creation, maintenance, and annihilation are all but your opulence. Right? So there's nothing else but that, right? Because otherwise it's taken as something else. It's illusion, it's this, it's that, it's whatever. Since Lord Brahma and other creators are nothing but small portions of a portion of you, their partial power to create does not make them God, Ishwara. Their consciousness of themselves as separate lords is therefore merely false prestige. It is not valid. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur elaborates. Having explained the mutual control that the Lord and the devotee have over each other, Chitraketu now explains the powers of the Lord in the three verses. Vibhava means greatness. Creation and destruction are your greatness. King Chitraketu continued. You exist in the middle, beginning, and end of everything, from the most minute particle of the cause of manifestation. The atom to the gigantic universes and the total material energy. So from the atom of the universe, this smallest particle, up to the whole universe itself, which are gigantic, and then to the whole Mahatattva, which is the whole one quarter of the, you know, the cosmic manifestation. Nevertheless, you are eternal, having no beginning, end, or middle. You are perceived to exist in these three phases, and thus you are permanent. Right? So he's there in the beginning, he's there in the middle, he's there at the end, so he's permanent. Right? Our body wasn't there yesterday, it won't be there tomorrow, it's here today. Does that make sense? Yes, yeah, so therefore we're not permanent. Yes.
His mood in offering those prayers is very formal. And we see that previously, I don't know, the whole was offering prayers, but it was also very formal. Oh, Indra was also offering prayers. They always talk about the Lord, He's everywhere and He's in sweet pictures. Is that the point of Vaikuntha Bhava?
Yes.
So always the Lord.
Yes, the Lord is the Lord. Because that's His position. He is the Lord and then He's come here and takes care. So here His Lordship means the creation, maintenance, and destruction. There His Lordship means just He's God. When the cosmic manifestation does not exist, you exist as the original potency. Footnote 27. Srila Prabhupada points out, devotees can see that the original potencies caused the cosmic manifestation and are not in chemicals, but in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, free as the cause of the chemicals. Because otherwise they think it's all chemicals and that's why life came about. But He's the cause of the chemicals. Every universe is covered by seven layers: earth, water, fire, air, sky, and the total energy and false ego, each 10 times greater than the previous one. Okay. Every universe is covered by seven layers: earth, water, fire, air, sky, the total energy, and false ego. Each 10 times greater than the previous ones. There are innumerable universes besides this one, and although they are unlimitedly large, they move about like little atoms in you. Therefore you are called unlimited, Ananta. O Lord, O Supreme, unintelligent persons who thirst for sense enjoyment and who worship various demigods are no better than animals in the human form of life. Because of their animalistic propensities, they fail to worship your lordship, and instead they worship the insignificant demigods, who are but small sparks of your glory. With the destruction of the entire universe, including the demigods, the benedictions received from the demigods also vanish, just like the nobility when a king is no longer in power. Yeah, because the animals are only interested in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So those who are only interested in that, they're no better than the animals. They may be nicer animals, you know, fancy animals, but then that's all there is. Just like within the animals, you have some that are more developed than that, and then some that are not. So it's like that. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, after glorifying the Lord, the devotee is glorified. But first the non-devotee is criticized. Vibhutihi means the devatas. They worship devatas and not you. After the destruction of the devatas, their blessings also disappear. When the family of a king disappears, the blessings given by the family to the servants also disappears. King Chitraketu continued. O Supreme Lord, a person is obsessed with material desires for sense gratification through material opulence worship you, who are the source of all knowledge and are transcendental to material qualities. They are not subject to material rebirth, just as sterilized or fried seeds do not produce plants. Living entities are subjected to the repetition of birth and death because they are conditioned to material nature. But since you are transcendental, one who is inclined to associate with you in transcendence escapes the condition of material nature. Srila Prabhupada comments, one simply engages in Krishna consciousness to understand Krishna, he surely becomes immune to the process of repeated birth and death. As clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chaktva Deham Punar Janma Naiti, Bhagavad Gita 4.9, such a person, simply by engaging in Krishna consciousness or understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, becomes quite fit to return home back to Godhead. The perfection of life is to be uninterested in material enjoyment and interested in Krishna. If one comes to Krishna consciousness somehow or another, even for material gain, the result is that he will be liberated. Kamad dveshad bhayat snehat. Whether for the satisfaction of material desires, because of the influence of envy, because of fear, because of affection, or because of any other reason, if one comes to Krishna, his life is successful. Right. So what will that mean? Because what's success in life? Right? Success will be is that all these material desires go away. Right. That's the whole point. The material point is that, I mean, the point being is that the material phenomena, the material consciousness goes away because of our focus on Krishna. So whether one goes like this, like it's said here, whether for the sacks of material desires, because of the influence of envy, because of fear, because of affection, or because of any other reason, when it comes to Krishna, his life is successful. So whatever the reason you approach Krishna with material desire, but you're approaching Krishna, by approaching Krishna, material concept within the heart will be removed. Right? It's just a matter of time. Does that make sense? Because Krishna is very expert. He'll fulfill a desire in such a way that you'll lose your interest in it. Does that make sense? That's how he deals. Right? That's just Krishna's expertise. Yes?
Maharaj, a few pages before we were discussing on the concept of renunciation, that Prabhupada says that when, if there is renunciation, So that is the secondary aspect which helps for the bhakti to
means, it means it means knowledge and detachment come, they're secondary to the performance of bhakti.
So this proves that how bhakti is...
is superior, yes.
Superior, because... Even without that, we are able to get.
Yes, because karma and jnana depend upon bhakti to actually work. So if you're actually functioning in bhakti, then how much better it'll work. But the point is, since the devotee's not actually interested in that, then whether that comes or not is another thing. And if he's interested in that, Krishna will fulfill it in such a way to remove the desire. So if that means by not getting it, you lose the desire, by getting it, you lose the desire, or whatever, or getting it and losing it, like King Chitraketu, you know. So whatever it is, Krishna will work it in such a way that we lose interest. So that's why it says your life is successful. Successful means we come to the transcendental platform, we get out of the material world, we connect ourselves with Krishna. Right? And then from success, then it goes forward into prema. Right? You know, so that's the ultimate success. But we call perfection just getting out of the material world. But the actual perfection is developing prema. King Chitraketu continued, "O unconquerable one, when you spoke about Bhagavad Dharma, which is the uncontaminated religious system, for achieving the shelter of your lotus feet, that was your victory. Persons who have no material desires, like the Kumaras, who are self-satisfied sages, worship you to be liberated from material contamination. In other words, they accept the process of Bhagavad Dharma to achieve shelter at your lotus feet. So using Bhagavad Dharma, however, because the pure Bhagavad Dharma means without anything else. Right? Because Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga are actually within the regulations. Right? Bhagavad Dharma simply means it's the affection. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "If this is the excellence of bhakti mixed with material desires, because by your power, then how much more bhakti without material desires will yield? This is called the Kaimuktika." Right? That makes sense. So if you're getting perfection with material desires in bhakti, then what will you get if you're beyond material desire? Right? So much greater. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Oh, the A is back. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. "However, this nishkama bhakti is instigated by you. Your victory over your devotees who are nishkama, mentioned in verse 34, is caused by you, who are so merciful and desire to be controlled by your devotee." That is your special victory, right? So he controls the devotee. He gets him to fully surrender, because only if you're fully surrendered is he controlled. And he wants to be controlled by the devotee, right? So being in the masculine position, he takes that step first, right? But it's according to our surrender. So it's always based on our mood, but he's always trying to take that step. He's always trying to bring us to that point. Because he can only give himself if the devotees have given themselves. Otherwise, how does he reciprocate? So his goal is actually to give himself. But that means then we have to give ourselves first. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why the principle is that. Does that make sense? The wife is having that surrender or service attitude towards the husband. But what's the point of that? So then the husband can deal that way with the wife. You understand? So if you have it where the wife follows that, but the husband doesn't follow the second, it's not a complete relationship. Does that make sense? So that's the origin of this. It's about relationship. It's not about who's in control.
It has to be reciprocal.
It has to be reciprocal, but it's about relationship, not control. Control comes as a side thing. Yeah. You know, just like lunch, it's about what you're eating, right? Is it about the plate and cup? Mm-hmm. No. You understand? Those come along with it. If somebody invites you to lunch, you will get a plate and cup. Right? So, yeah. That is explained in this verse. O unconquered Lord, when you spoke about nishkama anavadyam dharma, of the devotees became indebted to you. You were conquered by devotees through that nishkam bhakti, but that bhakti was explained by you. That is your good quality. He explains it, the devotees follow it, and then they're able to conquer him. You know, it's just like when Yudhishthira Maharaj went to Dronacharya, Bhishma Dev, you know, and Kripacharya, to ask them how he could defeat them in battle. It wasn't a political move. It was based on their relationship, right? And they have to do their dharma, and they're his superiors, and he has to do his dharma the best he can. So therefore, without the blessings of the seniors, how can he do it? Even though it happens to be directed at them, but that's Kshatriya dharma. You understand? So it's about relationship. Right? So they were going to say, if he hadn't come, they would have cursed him. But that he did come, then they give all benedictions, and so they actually tell how you can be defeated. Right? Does that make sense? That's relationship. So Krishna, he tells the process of Nishkam Bhakti so that we can actually defeat him, conquer him, and then he's controlled by the devotee. Right? But it's all based on affection. It's not who's in control. Right? This is the point of relationship. We say, oh, just surrender, and the, you know, is it, you know, the famous line of the, you know, generally the manager, just surrender, Prabhu. Right? No? But the point is what's the whole point of surrender? Surrender means then that there's that reciprocation. Right? One does surrenders to following Krishna and doing his service, and then he's taken care of. Right? Krishna takes care. But it's not a business deal. It's a relationship. So again, like this morning, we don't think, oh, okay, so I'll surrender and then I'll get everything. No, we don't think like that. We surrender and we'll please Krishna. That's what we think. Does that make sense? Yes.
This morning we did Vairagya Vidya. Is that Vidya, is that knowledge?
Yeah. But so the knowledge of renunciation, knowledge. But what's the real knowledge of renunciation?
Okay. So that knowledge and the Vairagya will give birth to Bhakti?
No, because Vairagya Vidya is Bhakti. Because the result of that is... Does that make sense?
You know, I had read somewhere before that the knowledge and renunciation gives birth to Bhakti.
It never can. How is it possible? There's so many people with knowledge and so many people detached. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. There was not a more intelligent or knowledgeable person in India at the time when Lord Chaitanya was present. Hands down, there was nobody. He was the most intelligent scholar in India at the time. You know, and he's very, you know, simple. He's a simple Brahmin. You know. Was he a devotee? Did he have bhakti? You understand? After Lord Chaitanya came.
Yes.
Otherwise, before that, he was the biggest Mayavadi that, you know, India's ever seen. You know, we talk about Mayavadis, you know, like that. See, Shankaracharya, we could say, is the biggest Mayavadi, but he didn't believe in it. He just preached it. Right? But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya actually believed it. So then that way you could say he was the biggest Mayavadi that ever there ever was or will be. You understand? So, but when Lord Chaitanya came, then he got bhakti. That was by the association of devotees. Because Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of the devotees. So by that association, then he was able to understand the Lord. His all the shlokas that explain the position of the Lord and his coming and as the hidden avatar in Kali Yuga and all that, he knew all the verses. You know, he was like, you know, basically a walking encyclopedia. So only after Lord Chaitanya explained the Vedanta Sutta commentary and everything to him, then all these verses came and he understood what they actually meant. Because otherwise, he knew the verses but didn't understand what they meant. They seemed strange. But because, you know, the piety, it's Shastra, it's accepted. Right? It's accepted. But, does that make sense?
Yeah?
Okay. Okay, so you are conquered by the devotees through that Nishkam Bhakti, but that Bhakti was explained by you. That is your good quality. Thus, the devotees are indebted to you. Right? So, the devotees are indebted to the Lord for explaining the process of bhakti, you know, by which then they conquer the Lord, and the Lord is then indebted to them. You understand? So that's the relationship. You always say that. Thus, the devotees are indebted to you. Those who are pure from the beginning, Niskinchana, as well as those sages, Munayaha, who by association with pure devotees gave up their previous ideas, and some Jivan Mukta, Atmarama, who achieved their position by austerity, follow that Dharma. So whatever the background, when they come in contact with the devotees, and then they take up this process of Nishkam Bhakti, they all attain the Lord's mercy. Right? It doesn't matter what their background is. Right? Pure from the beginning, those who are sages, you know, so it's more on Gyan, Atmarama, those, you know, so they're self-satisfied, they're already liberated. In other words, those desiring liberation, those who are pure, like that, or those who through austerity and all that, whatever is their background, when they come in contact with Krishna consciousness, then they come to the perfectional platform. King Chitraketu continued, being full of contradictions, all forms of religion but Bhagavad Dharma work under conceptions of fruit of results and distinctions of you and I and yours and mine. The followers of Srimad Bhagavatam have no such consciousness. They are all Krishna conscious, thinking that they are Krishna's and Krishna is theirs. There are other low-class religious systems which are contemplated for the killing of enemies or the gain of mystical power. But such religious systems, being full of passion and envy, are impure and temporary. Because they are full of envy, they are full of irreligion. Okay. Okay, so only Bhagavad Dharma is beyond the material conception. Right? All other religious systems will have elements of karma and jnana to them. Right? So that's the whole. What do we mean here by religion? Religion means the inherent nature of something. Right? So everything has a dharma, like that chair has a dharma. Right? But the chair, what's the dharma for? People are being comfortable, or they can sit, they can get work done. So, you know, dharma, artha, kama, like this they can get from this chair. Right? So there's a nature of the chair. It's created like that by the Lord, but people will observe it in that way. So only Bhagavat Dharma means then you only see things how it connects to Krishna. So that means all other religious systems come into perfection when they're connected to Bhagavat Dharma. So therefore, when the Dharma of the chair is utilized to please Krishna, then that chair becomes perfect. Then our devotion becomes perfect. The endeavor becomes perfect. Right? That's the perfection of religion. So, makes sense? Okay, so they are thinking that, okay, Krishna is theirs, they are Krishna's, right? So there are other low-class, so then there's even lower class, so we're just talking about the neutral ones. Then you have the low-class ones, where the killing of enemies, gain of mystic power, all these. But they're full of passion and envy, so they're impure and temporary, right? And because they are full of envy, they are full of irreligion, right? So not that it's not the nature of it, and that's how you do it, but what's the motive for doing that? That would be irreligion. So in other words, it's about karma and jnana. Because technically, if it's bhakti, that's pious. And if it's about karma and jnana, technically that's impious. So from the devotional point of view, if it's not about Krishna consciousness, it's actually impious. Right? So that's why sometimes it comes up that, oh, if we follow some of these modern systems of that and be good, be nice, and all that kind of jazz, then, you know, then it's good. But technically, what's the motivation? We can say it's all for Krishna, but the point is no, surrender to Krishna in the recommended way. That's for Krishna. These other things, we may see them as helpful, but why? So we have to be very, very careful there. Because if it's not actually going to be about Krishna, then the point comes is then it's irreligious. Does that make sense? So that's then ultimately how it's defined. If it's for Krishna consciousness, that's religious. If it's not for Krishna consciousness, it's irreligious. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Those people who are in the movement, they will get
Liberation basically depends on the level it's being talked about. Liberation, the first level, means that you're freed from material entanglement and that you are situated on the platform of the soul, you're not the body. So therefore that will get you out of the material world, right? But that still will be temporary. It's only unless you get into the spiritual world. So when we're talking in relationship with devotional service, then that will mean, then we're meaning that it'll take one all the way through to bhakti, you know, to a prema. Right? So when we say liberation, we mean that. Because we only, for us, only that's religion. I mean, as liberation. Right? But at the same time, is sometimes the text will make a distinction between having come to, gotten out of the material world and being situated in devotional service on the liberated platform. That's the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Right, so that's what we would technically, if you're talking Shraddha the Prema, that's Bhava. Right, but then by being in Bhava Bhakti and associating with devotees, we'll come to the platform of Prema. But it's just to distinguish. In other words, the one is you follow this, it will go all the way through. The other is, as you follow this, that'll get you here, and then by continuing that, that'll get you to Prema. Just so that we're clear that, you know, where we stand and that, you know, there's still work to do. Does that make sense? You know. Srila Prabhupada comments, Bhagavad Dharma has no contradictions. Conceptions of your religion and my religion are completely absent from Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma means following the orders given by the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharmam Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Right, so we're doing it not because, oh, this is the rule, this is how Brahmins act, this is how Kshatriyas act. We're doing it because this is what Krishna wants. So we're doing it to please Krishna, not because if we follow the rules, then our life will be auspicious, you know, things will work out, there won't be any problems. That's dharma. So that's what Krishna means by sarva dharma parityajya. Giving that up. Right? So that's what we're trying to do. So there's no that's the point. There's no contradiction between in Bhagavad Dharma, because whatever you're connecting to Krishna, it's all the same, of the same nature. It's all about Krishna. Well, these other dharmas, then they can be without Krishna. Now, all other dharmas have come from Krishna, but just as Krishna says he is everything, but means he is everything, but at the same time he's not. He's separate. All things are in him, but he's separate. Right? Does that make sense? So in the same way, all dharmas come from him. So the nature of everything comes from him, and he's the Lord that defines how it all works. But you can follow those dharmas without connecting it to him, so that's just dharma. But when you connect it to him, that's Bhagavad Dharma. Because it's about him. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is if you're starting with the Nishkam Bhakti, then that means the results of whatever you're doing is for Krishna. Right? So even if you're not starting with Krishna first, you're starting with what you can do and then taking that and offering to Krishna. But the point is it's about Krishna fully. Right? And eventually that Nishkam Bhakti will mature into it was about Krishna from the beginning, not about myself. That's just a more mature stage of the same thing. Right, you know, just like someone learns a skill, they're good at it, but if they do it for some time, they become better. So, does that make sense? You know, so that's the... So in other words, you could say is that if you're Nishkam Bhakti from the first stage we're talking about, that would be someone's expert in devotional service. But coming from the stage after that, you could say they're a master in devotional service. Does that make sense? So it's about Krishna first. Right? So that's what's worked out. That's what Bhava Bhakti is about, working that out. Right? Does that make sense? Having worked that out, then one comes to the platform of prema. Yes? God is one and God is for everyone. Therefore everyone must surrender to God. That is the pure conception of religion. Whatever God orders constitutes religion. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:3:19. In Bhagavad Dharma, there is no question of what you believe and what I believe. Everyone must believe in the Supreme Lord and carry out His orders. Anukul Yena Krishna Anushilanam. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19.167. Whatever Krishna says, whatever God says, should be directly carried out. That is Dharma, religion. One action, so in other words, him as a person, what he's stating, that's what should be followed. Otherwise, as Brahman and Paramatma, that makes the natures of dharmas of everything that we see. Right? So following Shastra, then we're following that level of dharma. But what Krishna's talking about is that level of dharma has to be given up for the level where we're dealing, because that's what Bhagavan is saying. Krishna is a person. Right? If one is actually Krishna conscious, he cannot have any enemies, since his only engagement is to induce others to surrender to Krishna, or God. How can he have enemies? If one advocates the Hindu religion, the Muslim religion, the Christian religion, this religion or that religion, there will be conflicts. History shows that the followers of religious systems without a clear conception of God have fought with one another. There are many instances of this in human history. But systems of religion that do not concentrate upon service to the Supreme are temporary and cannot last for long because they are full of envy. There are many activities directed against such religious systems. And therefore one must give up the idea of my belief and your belief. Everyone should believe in God and surrender unto Him. That is Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma is called Sarvot Krishna, the best of all religious systems. Because those who follow Bhagavad Dharma are not envious of everyone. Does that make sense? So in other words, the religion has its basis on how it's expressing that surrender to the Lord, that acceptance of the supremacy of the Lord. Right? So that's not the Bhagavad Dharma part. Right? That we can say is Christian, Hindu, this, that. What is that surrender to God fully. Understand? That's why it is. So there should not be any enmity between the various religious systems, right? Because it's all about the same God, and it's all about surrendering to that same God. Does that make sense? So that's not the difference, right? It's not that this system will take you, that system won't take you, this, that, and because even within the system, if they don't have another religion to fight with, they'll fight amongst themselves. That's guaranteed. Within their own religion, they'll fight. Like you have the Hindus, then they'll, between the Vaishnavas and the Smartas, or you know, the Shaktas, the Shaivites, you know, all that, everybody's going to fight with each other anyway. You understand? And then if there's somebody coming from outside, then whoopee, now they can all fight against that guy, right? You know. So the main point is to fight, because it's based on envy, which means I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. So as soon as that's given up, then that goes away. Does this make sense? So that's not the difference. Then even within the religious systems, then who are the various religious systems given to? They're all given by the Lord, but they're given for various reasons, at various times and various places. Does this make sense? Therefore, then that which is followed or recommended by the great Mahatmas, the great sages, that's the one that then therefore we follow. You understand? So we're not following, you know, in our case, Hindu religion because the Hindu religion is the best. We're following what's recommended in the Veda because that's what the Acharyas recommend. But the principles that the Vedas are giving in that are the same in all religions. It's just whether people understand or not. Just like people practice Hinduism, do they understand pure bhakti? Right? So that's the thing, is that that's what's actually being explained in all religions. But depending upon the persons, who that, how much detail is given, you know, it's just like we have, you know, a whole canto on creation. Well, in other religious systems, in the Abrahamic, there's 1 1/3 page explaining creation. Right? The basic principle is it all comes from God, and by His will it all happens, and that's the essential point. But details, then there's not so much. Right? So the Veda will give great detail. Right? Does that make sense? So. King Chitraketu said, right, so therefore if you follow Bhagavad Dharma, there won't be envy, because then envy is by I'm the controller and enjoyer. Yes.
Centralization, each place
That's their standard, but see, the what's the point of centralization or not, right? The centralization is management, right? Now, if let's say we centralize, okay, how would it work? Right? It means there's going to be a particular group of people that they will decide how everything will be done everywhere. So everywhere around the planet, wherever the situation is, because they're sitting in a room somewhere, and I guarantee it's going to be a room that's air-conditioned somewhere. Right? It's going to have nice facilities and stuff that they can relate to from the particular cultural background they're from or wish they were from. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, now, that has to be applied all over the world. That means all managers all over the world simply are doing that. Right? So, since Krishna consciousness is about self-realization, where's the self in this? All I'm doing is get engaged in my conditioning just to do what they said. It's not that my own inspiration, according to my position, that body, mind, and words are fully engaged. You could argue, no, but they could be, but then it's artificial. So Prabhupada didn't like centralization because then the local temple president, wherever he may be, won't be inspired to look at, okay, this situation is like this, the people are like this, and so therefore we can do this to preach to them. You know what I'm saying? Just for an example, right? In Brazil, right? I think at the temple there, or so in the community there, I'm not sure how often it is, but I think once a week they have pizza night. And somehow or another, so devotees come. But also the karmis know, because pizza is the most popular food in Brazil. Right? We're not talking Italy here, we're talking Brazil. Right? And so, you know, they have the devotees, they all get there, and I forget what time it is, from something like 6 in the evening or 5 until midnight, they cook pizza. And karmis come, everybody comes. It's like, it's known, it's the place for going for pizza. So then they're coming, they're taking prasad, devotees come, they talk, and this and that. Well, other places, you know, you don't do that. Even in Italy, they don't have pizza night. And if they do, it'll be a few, you know, few friends get together because they got an oven like that. They're not going to, you know, use their cheese like that, right? You know what I'm saying? So here is a place halfway around the world from Italy, and they have pizza night, and through that they're preaching. You know, we don't have one other temple or project out of 600, 800 that do that. You understand? That comes up. That was seen by the local authorities. Now, if they simply had to do the formula that was created in that boardroom by some people on the other side of the planet and had probably never been to that place, don't know anything about them, then he'll simply be trying to follow that. Okay, he's inspired, he's working, but it won't actually be inspired preaching. You know, it'll be, what do you call it, dutiful management, but it won't be inspired preaching. It can't be, because it's not about the place. That's why Prabhupada didn't want it centralized. You know? Does that make sense? But the central point, the central feature is Bhagavad Dharma, as given by Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, and that's what the GBC is supposed to see as being carried out. The much higher principle. Managing the temple, that's for the local temple president. You know, if somebody halfway around the world wants to manage everything all over the world, there is no administrative system in the world that tries to do that. Not one. I think we're the only ones that try it. Right? And it hasn't worked for us in the last 20 years, trying it seriously. So that's a good indication it's not going to work at all. Because in the professional world, you got 90 days to make it, you know, show something happening. You know, and then you have to keep up the progress. And if it's not working, that plan will be canned. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, Prabhupada did not want bureaucratization. He didn't want centralization. Because these will kill the actual preaching spirit of the individual preacher. You want to have a common standard of devotional service. Everyone's chanting their round, following the principles, understanding pure devotional service. You know, to some extent, the standard in deity worship, that, you know, what the rituals are and some basic things. But then after that, it's up to them. Does that make sense?
Because it try to be very personal to see what side is this the standard for the Torah, the standard, but it looks very different in another place.
Yes, but then it's not a problem. Like, have you ever seen the deities in Mexico City? Like that. I've seen some pictures of them. They look Mexican. Right? The deities are made in Jaipur, but, you know, when the devotees dress them and that, they try to make them, they look Mexican. You know, it's not Krishna's wearing a sombrero and stuff like that. We're not talking like that. But it just means the features. You understand? So the point is it goes by, that doesn't mean that, okay, well, in this country we do this kind of food. Point is Bhagavad Dharma is universal. But it's how to apply Bhagavad Dharma in the place. According to the standards, that's what the individual, you know, interpretation will be. That's why we don't get in the way of centralization. We have a standard set of processes and rules, but how are you going to apply it? You know, it's just like, let us say the devotees were out during Harinam, right? And they're doing book distribution. And, you know, the magazines, they're doing a little bit at all, that's all, not that much. Then, I forget who it was, maybe it was Buddhimanta or somebody. Somehow or another was that, you know, normally it's before the Christmas program starts to get too crazy, then all the devotees go back to the temple. Somehow or another, this devotee saw some crowd or something. He went over there and then forgot what time it was. And then he was there till like midnight or something ridiculous, right? And then he came back and he had done so many books and that, more than anybody, any temple, any books he had ever done. And so that it started the, you know, the big book distribution and all these kind of things. So that was a personal inspiration. You have your standards how you work, but then you, in other words, oh, we have it, you run it. And when you see how to make it work further, you do it. Just like in, let us say there's a holy festival, okay? People are out with the colors, right? How much do the Westerners appreciate getting colors all over them, right? Not at all. And that's capital N-O-T, capital A-T, and capital A-L-L, right? You know, boost it up to about 26 point. Bold, underline it a few times. Okay, we got the idea? You know, centralize it. Yeah, if you can make it flash, even better. Okay? Now, right in the heart of, you know, good old U.S. of A, out in Utah, which is Mormon country, right? Not even just anybody, but Mormons, you know, and they don't mix with anybody else because they're Mormons. Right, that they have a festival holy that I heard this last year 1 lakh of people go to. There is nobody in the West has a festival that big. No Western temple ever pulls in 1 lakh of people. And this isn't just coming by and, you know, rubbernecking here. We're talking about getting out there with colors and plastering each other with colors. There's, you've maybe seen pictures of, you just see this crowd of people, just colors in the air. It's just like insane. So it's the festival, and because they've been doing it now for God only knows how long. I heard that this year they either were doing or did it in someplace in South America, maybe, and one other place, but on a small scale. But small meaning like 20,000 people or, you know, like this. That's the personal thing. They took that festival and made that big. They saw that they could do something with that. They probably did something, and who knows what happened. It started off something very small, and it caught on. So then they increased, and over, you know, 10, 20 years, it becomes now where they have 100,000 people come. And others see, oh, this is nice. You know, like Chopati, how they run their ashram, their community. It started off one grihastha's one-room apartment. It is, literally, one room, and there's a little bathroom on the side. I think there's a loft. I think you have to go up little stairs into a loft. It's not a separate room. Right? And then from there, they built the whole community. Then others see, wow, this is nice, and then they try to apply it in their places. But now if you say you have to do it this way, it won't work. Because it worked for them in Bombay. It won't work anywhere else. You know, Bombay people, Delhi is a different place. Calcutta is different. Madras is different. It won't work. Does that make sense? Like that. You know, in Bombay they have their, you know, their program. You know, 5 minutes for this, 10 minutes, for the kirtan, this many minutes for the class, this many minutes for this and that. Bombay, they're happy, right? You go down south, take it to Madras, it's like, why only 10 minutes for knowledge? We want to do, 45 minutes, right? You bring it over to Bengal, it's why only, 5 minutes for kirtan? Why not, 45 minutes? And you take it to Delhi, and why do we have to spend so long at all? Can't the whole program be 5 minutes? You understand? So the whole point is therefore, it's about you do these things. People like kirtan, they like getting together, and then finding out what works in the local place. That's why even something that someone does come up and it works great, you can't centralize that either. In other words, the devotees are satsang, they'll talk about how they did, others will say, oh, okay, that's cool, that's what before was before. Temple presidents call, hey, what was this? I heard you guys did so many books, what did you do? Oh, well, we went out and did this, and oh, yeah, we had, but I heard, on your Harinami doing, oh, yeah, we dressed, like in I think it's Paris, they would dress up devotees as Radha and Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya and all that, full outfit, like that, and go out with a Harinam party. And the Harinam and the flags, and it was like a whole festival, and it would catch attention. Like it's French-like culture, like that. Across the pond, it won't work, but hey. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is you find what works in the place. And then if other places see that it works there, then why not? Because it does. You do have places that, strangers just like, a lot of the French culture and practices, then you'll see, I'm not sure if it's Bulgaria. I think maybe in Sofi or something like that. One of the things, no, Timisoara. Like that. Huh?
Romania.
And that's Romania. Timisoara is Romania. So it used to be that whatever Paris wanted to try out, let's say if they wanted some new street lamps, but it was some new thing like gas or something new, or the cable cars or anything that was something that was new technology, they would try it there first, and if it worked there and they worked out all the bugs, then they would do it in Paris. At the same time, as they go keep going halfway across, you get over to Saigon, they would speak French over there, and they're totally into French stuff. But you go next door, into Thailand, they're not. They got their own culture. You know what I'm saying? So wherever it works, it works. You can't say, no, everybody's got to do this. Does that make sense? Chitraketa continued, how can a religious system that produces envy of oneself and of others be beneficial for oneself and for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? Right? In other words, if you're following the rules of religion, but it's based on envy, what benefit will you get? It means you'll get the results of the religion, but the point is those results will be temporary. Right? So and so it's all just based on I and mine, so envy and attachment. It's not going to be good. But when you follow the tenets of religion to please Krishna, that's Bhagavad Dharma, then everything's perfect. Right? This is now where we're getting some serious overlaps of things, because it's, oh, so we don't follow Dharma. No, the point is you, like we said, the chair, it could either be used in Bhagavad Dharma, because it's about using the nature, the Dharma of a chair in Krishna's service, or I'm using the nature of a chair, Dharma, in my own service, due to envy and attachment. I'm following the rules of the chair. So in that way you could say on the material platform I'm pious. But in reality, I'm not pious because I'm not actually using it for this actually original purpose, which is to serve the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Excuse me.
Is it by causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy? What would that be like?
But no, we're not talking about, that. We're talking about envy of yourself. Who are you?
Yeah, I'm thinking of the body.
Okay.
than this.
Okay,
area.
Even if you want to take the body, what's the best? How will health be maintained the best for the body? How will health be maintained the best for the body?
By eating properly, exercising.
Yes, but it means regular. Yeah. Everything is regulated. You get up at the same time, go to bed at the same time, eat at the same time, eat the same volume, eat the same kinds of food or classes of food. You can make variety, but it's still the same class of food. At the same time, every day, day in, day out. How many karmas do that? So they're envious of themselves. Everyone in the West talks health coming out your ears. I can't sit down and eat anywhere without somebody talking about health. Oh, you're eating that. What about this and health? What are you eating that? Oh, you can eat this. Right? Nobody can eat. They all have to talk about health. And these are the most unhealthy people I know. Health freaks are always the most unhealthy people. Because they can never relax and just eat a meal and have it assimilate. They always have to be in total anxiety how anything's going to assimilate. This is envy of the self. The smoker, it's envy of the self. It's going to kill him, but still he smokes anyway because he gets some enjoyment out of it. You know what I'm saying? People party all night. You know, that can't be good for you. Right? You know, wake up in the morning and you don't even know where you were. You know, it's kind of like when they wake up, they got to look around and see, you know, who's here, what's going on, you know.
Any abuse to the body?
That's one level. Then what about the mind? What about this? But ultimately, who are we?
The spirit soul.
The soul. So therefore, the soul is servant of Krishna. Mm. Right? And so if we don't engage ourselves in Krishna's service, that's envy of the soul. We're trying to engage what's against the nature of the soul by engaging in sense gratification. That's envy of the soul. Right? And then when that doesn't work out, we can't squeeze anything out of that. Then we want to destroy the soul by merging in Brahman or Nirvana.
That's referred to as killer of the soul. Right?
Yeah. But point is all karmis and all jnanis are all killers of the soul to different degrees. On some level or another. Some are physical, some are mental, some are intellectual. You understand? So only a devotee is non-envious. Because he sees himself as servant of Krishna, he sees everyone else as servant of Krishna.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Thank you. What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained? By causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy and by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger and practices irreligion. Right? Because the practice of religion for actual purpose of religion, that you can say is religious. But if I'm practicing religion for something else, then that's not actually religious. I followed the rules properly, but my intent was actually not for the purpose that religion's for. So religion is for serving Krishna. Right? If we don't use religion for serving the Supreme, then the problem comes is that that's actually irreligious. Even though we do all the rules properly. We did the yajna, we did our sadhana, everything is perfect, but it's not to please Krishna, it's to please ourselves. Technically, that's irreligion. Right? Let us say you have... does that make sense? Someone takes a car, okay? And they know the car very well. And they follow all the rules. They push the gas properly, they push the brake, the clutch, the gears. You know, they understand how the thing corners, how it goes on straights, everything perfectly. They don't do anything that disturbs the car. They get the best performance out of this car. And they use it to go racing through the middle of town. So, technically they followed religion of the car perfectly. But their actual purpose of it is irreligious. You understand? So the smarta does all the yajnas, all that, the sadhana, reads scriptures, does everything perfectly. But the purpose of religion is to become God conscious. So technically they're irreligious people. There's a real purpose of religion they're not following. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what we have to consider.
Like when Krishna asked the brahmanas for food.
Yes, yes. So technically that's irreligious. Then their wives, which are breaking the rules and giving it, they're actually the religious ones. So then at the end, the husbands actually understood what religion's for. Right? The religion's to attain the supreme, and then the supreme comes knocking on their door looking for an offering, and they aren't going to offer it. So that means that's, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The previous statement is made clear. What is the benefit of thinking oneself and other objects which are mine, such as sons and wife? There is no benefit. By that, there is violence to oneself and others, because by performing austerities which inflict pain on one's body for committing violence to others, one becomes angry and becomes sinful, adharma. Right? So you're following all the religious things, but it's only for the senses. You can't be satisfied, as Hiranyakashipu. He tried his best to enjoy, and he still wasn't satisfied. So therefore, we'll just be angry and all this with others. Because we're not actually giving the benefit. King Chittaketu continued, "My dear Lord, one's occupational duty is instructed in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, according to your point of view, which never deviates from the highest goal of life." Right. So what's described by occupational duty is described by Krishna. It's his point of view. So he said, well, in my opinion, that doesn't matter. The point is no, what's Krishna's opinion? Then how do we receive that from the acharyas? That's what we want. And so what Krishna gives never deviates from the highest goal of life. He won't do that. Those who follow their occupational duties under your supervision, being equal to all living entities, moving and non-moving, and not considering high and low, are called Aryans. Such Aryans worship you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's an Aryan who sees all equally, not those who see, you know, if you look like this, then you're good, and if you don't look like this, then hey, we have a nice place where you can work.
Is that right? The same as Vaishnavas? Huh? Aryans, Vaishnavas?
Yes, yes.
Such Aryans worship you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. People follow Kamya Dharma, even though it is temporary and full of faults, because they see results. They have doubt to follow Nishkam Dharma, though it is faultless, because they do not see results. Your judgment, Iksha, that the Jiva becomes successful by bhakti to you, does not waver. In Kamya Dharma, the results sometimes are unsteady, but in bhakti, under your supervision, the results are not unsteady. Therefore, cultured people perform bhakti. Let the uncultured people have their doubts. Cultured persons have intelligence which does not see happiness and distress in oneself and others as different. Apritag diyaha.
So, people may have doubts. Let them have doubts. But those who are intelligent, they'll know what's right and do it. So just because others can't understand bhakti doesn't mean we adjust bhakti so that they aren't disturbed by it, right? If we don't do Hari Nam, does that now get the people chanting Hare Krishna? We don't do Hari Nam, and so now everybody in the city is all chanting Hare Krishna, because the real block to chanting Hare Krishna was they couldn't stand that people going down the street in bedsheets, and they didn't want to be, hey, you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're part of those guys with the bedsheets? No, 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 so they wouldn't chant. But as soon as now we're not out with the bedsheets doing Hare Nam, then now I can chant my japa, and now I feel good. Right? You understand? So these are all foolish ways of thinking. So the intelligent people, they'll take it up. And the unintelligent, hey, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. You try, but, you know, it's not. So the intelligent, they'll come forward. Srila Prabhupada adds, this verse therefore advises that everyone become a member of the Aryan civilization, accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should conduct his social, political, and religious affairs according to his instructions. We are spreading the Krishna conscious movement to try to establish a society the way that Krishna wants it. This is the meaning of Krishna conscious. That means the way Krishna wants it, not the way we want it. We're Westerners. We don't like all this stuff. We want to change it. That's not what this movement's about. This movement is about what is Krishna like. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. This is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. We are therefore presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is and kicking out all kinds of mental concoction. Right? So in other words, it's like Prabhupada's given the Gita as it is. All other forms of approach, those are already there in all these other Gitas. There's 700 other Gitas. And they all give all different kinds of, you know, more intellectual or more social or more this or that. Or there's tons of it there, so there's nothing new. As it is, that's the dynamic one. That's the... King Chitraketu continued, "My Lord, it is not possible for one to be immediately freed from all material contamination by seeing you, not to speak of seeing you personally." Did I say, "Oh, my Lord, it is not impossible for one to be immediately freed from all material..." I was thinking, that doesn't make sense. "My Lord, it is not possible for one to be immediately free..." No. It is not impossible. Okay. "My Lord, it is not impossible for one to be immediately freed from all material contamination by seeing you, not to speak of seeing you personally, merely by hearing the holy name of your Lordship only..." Once, even Chandalas, men of the lowest class, are freed from all material contamination. Under the circumstances, who will not be freed from material contamination simply by seeing you? Right? So we get to see the deity, but we're freed from all material contamination. Just chanting the holy name will do that, let alone someone like here, Chitraketu, is seeing the Lord personally. Footnote 28. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 44 to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 13, entitled Sadhana Bhakti, executed exclusively by taking shelter of the holy name, Aikantiki Namashraya Sadhana Bhakti, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. Right? So, therefore, is that just by connecting to the Lord on any position, then one will actually come to the perfectional stage. Devotional service means doing things that Krishna likes for his pleasure. Right? So, any of these, whatever level, it all works out perfectly. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, like that. So, it's exclusively taking shelter of the Lord's holy name, then worshiping the Lord, then everything works fine. So, we're not interested. His point is, other religions aren't what's important. What's important is taking shelter of the Lord through, you know, chanting the holy name in the association of devotees. Srila Prabhupada, "Therefore, my Lord, my dear Lord, simply seeing you has now wiped away all the contamination of sinful activities and the results of material attachment and lusty desires." Right? So the sinful activities and their results then are material attachment and lusty desires. That's the problem with the sinful reactions. It generates a material attachment and lusty desires. Right? Because the desire will turn into... Right, I've done the activity, so I'll get attachment. Right? From that attachment, I'll contemplate other aspects, so there'll be desires. Then I'll try to fulfill those desires. In fulfilling those desires, I'll become attached. Or by attachment, I endeavor to fulfill those desires. Right? So they go together. So improper activity or material activity will generate that. Spiritual activity will generate then freedom from that. Yes. Okay. "Therefore, my dear Lord..." "Therefore, my dear Lord, simply seeing you has now wiped away all the contamination of sinful activities and the results of material attachment and lusty desires, which always filled my mind and the core of my heart. Whatever is predicted by the great sage Narad Muni cannot be otherwise. In other words, I have attained your audience as a result of being trained by Narad Muni." 44-45, Srila Prabhupada comments. This is the process of the perfect way. One must take lessons from authorities like Narada, Vyasa, and Asita, and follow their principles. Then one will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even with one's own eyes. One only needs training. Atashri Krishna Namadi. Nabhavet Grahyam Indriyahi. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 17.136. With our blunt eyes and other senses, we cannot perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. and if we engage our senses in the service of the Lord according to the instruction of the authorities, it will be possible to see him. As soon as one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the sinful reactions in the core of one's heart are certainly vanquished. Right? So as you see Krishna, then all these things are removed from the heart. Right? But as we see, and so as we see with devotion, then this gets greater and greater. But even if there's not much devotion, it still works. But the point is one will free from the sinful reactions and all these other things. But then the point is what are you going to do with it? In the purified state, what will you do with it? Will you use it for Krishna? Or will you use it for sense gratification? So that's the whole point, is we endeavor in good association for developing pure love for Krishna. King Chitraketu continued, O unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever a living entity does in this material world is well known to you because you are the Supersoul. In the presence of the sun, there is nothing to be revealed by the light of a glowworm. Similarly, because you know everything, in your presence there is nothing for me to make known. My dear Lord, you are the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this cosmic manifestation. But persons who are too materialistic and who always see separateness do not have eyes with which to see you. Right? So separateness means I see things separate from Krishna. Right? Devotee sees everything in relation to Krishna. A separatist sees things separate from Krishna. So if you don't see it connected to Krishna, then it won't develop. Like devotees may see the temple, the sadhana, connected to Krishna. Therefore, when they're in the temple, the deity, they're very strict, they follow very, very nicely. But then when they go home, they don't see their home connected to Krishna really. Okay, there's an altar there. When they make an offering, they do that, or they offer obeisances. But basically, the home is functioning and everything that goes on that has nothing to do with Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So it may be that they just don't know, they haven't maturely developed, but they consider everything connected to Krishna, so as much as they understand, they're doing things connected to Krishna. But if they actually think, no, I mean, I have my sadhana, and then I have, you know, we have to be practical and, you know, in real life, that's a separatist. So why would they be like that? Either for prestige or for their own benefit. So passion or ignorance. Because only those in passion or ignorance are separatists. Those in goodness and pure goodness aren't. They cannot understand your real position, and therefore they conclude that the cosmic manifestation is independent of your opulence. Right? Because there's this thing as deifying the Lord created the universe, and now he's not in control of it, somehow or another got out of his hand. And so now we have to run it, we have to create order, we have to make the decisions, we set the standards. Right? You know, that's in your modern world. And then for ourselves, it's no, but the, you know, this is Kali Yuga, these things don't apply, we have to set our own. You know, we're not Indians, but, you know, we're not fully Westerners, so we're a new kind of group. We have to create our own culture, our own, you know. Ever heard that one?
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, all the time. So that means that's a separatist. Because they don't see it connected to Krishna. You know, or before, my religion's connected to Krishna, the other religion's not. And each one thinks that about the other. Yeah. Same thing. My Lord, you are the supreme pure, and you are full in all six opulences. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Right? People, if they want money, they like to hang around with the guy who has the most money. Right? So Krishna has the most money. It's all his. Even whatever you claim is yours, it's still his. So wouldn't we want to hang around him if we were so interested in money? Right? Or beauty, or fame, or knowledge, or detachment. I mean, he's got it all. So then you'd want to hang out with that guy. Yeah, yeah. You know, see, you know, you want to, you know, get up there in front of the deities, take a selfie. You know, you're the deities. Hey, I'm with the guy. Yeah. Okay, Srila Prabhupada comments. Atheistic men think that the cosmic manifestation has come about by chance, by a combination of matter, without reference to God. Materialistic so-called chemists and atheistic philosophers always try to avoid even the name of God in relation to the cosmic manifestation. For them, God's creation is impossible to understand because they are too materialistic. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Paramahamsa, or the Supreme Pure, whereas those who are sinful, being very much attached to material sense enjoyment, and therefore engaged in material activities like asas, are the lowest of men. All their so-called scientific knowledge is null and void because of their atheistic temperament. Thus, they cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. King Chitraketu concluded, right? Because they're atheistic, they can't understand the Lord, because he only reveals himself to someone with faith. So things, well, I can't see God, prove it. It's like you don't have the qualification. You know, that'd be like the, you know, the third grader, well, prove to me about quantum, I don't believe it. You know, it's like, you can understand the math, you don't have the, you know, it's like you don't have the qualification. King Chitraketu concluded, my dear Lord, it is after you endeavor that Lord Brahma, Indra, and the other directors of the cosmic manifestation become occupied with their activities. Right? So only when Krishna started things, right, then others can do something. It's not that they just go out on their own and do. It's only when Krishna arranges then that. It is after you perceive the material energy, my Lord, that the senses begin to perceive, right, the universal form. He sees, we can see. He doesn't see, we don't see. The Supreme Personality of Godhead holds all the universes on his heads like seeds of mustard. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, that Supreme Personality who has thousands of hoods. Right, so we see here as he's talking about this nature of Krishna and how he's in everything and all that, his Ananta, his unlimited aspect. So Ananta is Sesha. Therefore he worships Shankarsana. That's his main deity. Right? So it's that particular flavor. He's worshiping Vishnu, but this particular flavor. Verses 49 to 65. The Lord responds. Sugadeva Goswami continued, the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantaday, being very much pleased with the prayers offered by Chitraketu, the king of the Vidyadharas, replied to him as follows. O best of the Kuru dynasty, Parikit Maharaj. Oh, no, he replied to him as follows. Oh, who replied to him as follows, O best of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Parikit. Slightly different. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadev, replied as follows. O King, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira, you have become completely aware of transcendental knowledge. Because you are now educated in the spiritual science, you have seen me face to face. Therefore, you are now completely perfect. Srila Prabhupada comments. The perfection of life is to be spiritually educated and to understand the existence of the Lord and how he creates, maintains, and annihilates the cosmic manifestation. When one has perfect knowledge, he can develop his love of Godhead through the association of such perfect persons as Narada, Angira, and the members of their disciplic succession. Then one is able to see the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So this understanding that means one, somebody may appreciate or be able to understand more technical aspects of creation, maintenance, and destruction. And somebody less. But the point is we know it's all come from Krishna. It's maintained by Krishna. Right? The results of it are for Krishna. And afterwards, after it's destroyed, there'll only be Krishna. So in other words, Krishna is the source of everything. So we do everything connected to him. Even if one only understands that simply, still, that's perfection. Right? And so how much is our analytical ability? Then we know. Because if we're analyzing material energy, we should be analyzing how Krishna is that material energy that we're analyzing. And if we're not analyzing like that, then we're not actually analyzing at all. Right? Our analyzation will be temporary, and it will give us trouble. Yes. Addressing who is king? Yes, because he's playing the role of a king. Because otherwise, how do relationships go on?
But like, is he not
No, it's a matter of, it's a matter of, you see, is the activity will be the same. It doesn't change. Someone's cooking for Krishna and someone's not cooking for Krishna. Is there a problem with calling them a cook? See, that's the point. Otherwise, how do you express your devotion? He's offering these prayers, and then he's going to apply it by performing his kingly duties connected to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? You know, because 10 days earlier, he's the king of the Vidyadharas. It's not that, you know, that's gone away. Okay? Yeah, okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Govinda Prema ki.